wonderful time. Jesus is what it's all about. Jesus is the theme of the Bible. Jesus is the theme of history. We're in the year 2015 AD. Jesus is the most important thing that ever happened to this planet. And he has a great love for you, a great plan for your life, and a great gift to give you in this season. We're going to be reading today from the book of Hebrews. In your notes, you can follow along with me, Hebrews chapter 11. The book of Hebrews begins by God introducing a different covenant and a superior covenant, a superior person. In the Old Testament, God, through angels and Moses and prophets and priests, revealed himself to Israel, to mankind. And all of those revelations were good. They just weren't perfect. They just weren't complete. Then Jesus shows up as the Son of God. Moses, the servant of the house. Jesus, the Son of the house. And Jesus is the personification of God. Hebrews says, the express image of God. So that happened. And it's just a wonderful thing. And so the Bible, the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus. But before I forgot to do one thing, before we kind of jump into that, I want to pray for the UWIGs who are moving to back where they've come from, Minneapolis, Wisconsin. And they've served our church so lovingly for many, many years, really, as non-paid, pastoral staff here. Donna Carroll, would you come up here? Mary and I and our staff just want to love on you. I'm going to ask maybe the staff to come up here with me, too. Would you stretch your hand? These are just world-class people. Our church was made better, so much better, by their presence here. So they're going to Milwaukee, and we are praying about having a CFTN Milwaukee, okay? So how many think that would be awesome? So whatever God wants. Lord, we thank you for Don and Carol. Thank you, God, for their service here. Not just here, God. They've been serving your kingdom 20-plus years. They've been faithful, so reliable as instruments of ministry in every place you've planted them. So we thank you for them. We celebrate the gift they've been to us, all they poured into our community. Thank you for the Rewind class, how they've just taken it to the next level, taught it to other churches, and touched hundreds and hundreds of lives. And Father, with joy, we send them to Milwaukee as ambassadors. We send them, God, as missionaries. We send them, God, on assignment to bring your kingdom to that lovely city. And Father, we declare that things are going to be different. They're going back as a different couple, with a different grace, a more powerful anointing, with a heavenly purpose. So God, just like an arrow of deliverance shot into the assignment of that region, we send them, God. And we thank you, God, that you're going to do mighty things in their family, their ministry. And Lord, whatever you want concerning the birthing of a church, if that's what you want, we just release it all to you. We just ask that your kingdom come, your will would be done. Thank you, God, for already open. Just in one day, their house sold here and they bought a house there. Just miracles have lined up. You've confirmed and established your will, made it clear to them. So Lord, with joy, we bless them. With gratitude for allowing us to know and serve and love with them, we thank you for the UWIG family. And Father, we pray in this season that you would be so present. Let it be a season of outrageous reward in their lives. Of all the seed they planted and all the lives they poured into, pour into them and their family, pour into the city of Milwaukee and that region, God, and accomplish your purpose and your will. It is in Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. We love you guys. Yeah. So we hate to see him go, but you know, our mission statement is reach, train, send. And whenever I have to let someone go, the Lord reminds me, you know, that's in your mission statement. Send to destiny. And sometimes it just was beautiful the way the Lord, if you list your house and it sells in 2 days, you know, God will help you find confirmations to his will. So those kinds of things really help. But we're excited about staying connected because we're a church with a vision for impacting the whole world. So we are I'll give you a little hint. In a few weeks, we'll be announcing about CFTN Chicago, and which is going to happen, and some stuff like that for all of you. Anybody from Chicago area? So We're excited about that. So we are pushing toward the Middle East. It seems like God's opening doors. Excited about that. I felt like I have a word for this wonderful family I've met through Steve and Tony Clifford, Steve and Marianne. Can I pray for you guys? Is it okay? I know you're chilling, but would you guys stand up and let me put my sweaty preacher hands on you? Lord, thank you for Steve and Marianne. You know, Brother Steve, when you were the other night when I was looking at you, I just saw so much of God's love for you and your wife, so much affection. And it seems like every time God's been building something, you've been a part of it. You're a part of the building of his purpose in Southern California in three different ways. And God always set you to be a part of the first wave of supporters and builders, encouragers and ministers. And it's your influence, your lives, your consistency, and your character has been so integrous to God's purpose in the earth and in that region. And I just feel like the Lord says, thank you. Thank you for the way you've loved my church. Thank you for the way you've loved my servants. Thank you for your hunger and openness to me. And both of you carry a hunger and desperation, a beautiful love of Christ. And it's a glorious thing to behold. So I saw your life in three stages, and I heard the Lord say, tell them the third stage has begun. And God says, this is going to be an unusual stage. You've done so much together. Both of you have built business and life and accomplished. By natural giftings, you've built churches. And by natural giftings, you've built medical regions, Miss Marianne. You've done all these things. But I heard the Lord say, tell them this is going to be their most fulfilling season, their most joyous season, their most dynamic season. And you've always said, God, we just want to stand behind others. But I heard the Lord say, tell them I'm pushing them forward. Tell them the gifts in them are precious and beautiful. That God's given you both a testimony of life, a testimony of strength. And you're going to find more and more people are going to ask you to talk and speak and contribute that way. Let your gifts out. And so the Lord says, I'm drawing out of you the gifts, the beautiful gifts, the dynamic, the wellspring of wisdom that's been deposited in you. And you're going to find so much fulfillment in this season. This is going to be the eagle season when you're going to catch the wind of my spirit and rise to new heights. This is a season of surprises and suddenly. It's when things happen both in your life and family, in your world and in your experience. And the Lord says, get ready, fasten your seatbelts because the journey is beginning. And God says, you're going to find in this time, because you've surrendered to me, opened to me, and hungered for me, you're going to find so much satisfaction in my purpose and in my plan. And just like before, you're going to be on the cutting edge of things I'm building in the earth. I'm doing something new, both in California and in the earth. Watch what's about to happen. A great wind of the Spirit is coming to Southern California again. A great move of God coming again. A great rain of heaven coming again. And the drought is over. It's broken. Watch what's happening. And God says, I planted you strategically in a region where I'm going to visit heavenly. And God says, get ready, my son and daughter. This is the time, the adventure of your life. This time of the fulfillment of my purpose. This is a time of unexpected breakthroughs and supernatural encounters of suddenlies from heaven. God, I thank you for blessing these precious ones in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Please get your notes out. Jesus is the theme of the book of Hebrews from Chapter 1, chapter 13, it's all good. It's all about Jesus. The whole Bible, in the volume of the book, lo, is written of me. It's all about Jesus. Amen. He is the word of life, word of grace, word of power. He is the word incarnate. And so Jesus now, so here we are. We have the first 10 chapters. It's all about Jesus, the high priest, Jesus, the mediator, Jesus, the sacrifice, like I spoke on Wednesday night. His shed blood, delivering us, saving us, redeeming us. Jesus, our intercessor. Jesus, it's all about Jesus. Then we come to chapter 11, and the whole chapter is about faith. Now, please lock it to me and get this. I know it's Christmas season, but if you want to make Jesus happy, have faith. Have faith. My friend that passed recently, R.W. Schambach, said, you don't have any problems. All you need is faith in God. So, suddenly, because the Hebrew church believers were admonished in chapters 3 and 4, today God's words come to you. Don't be like the past generation, but believe. Mix your faith to God's word and enter into the promise of your life. So God wants the church to have faith. Christ said in the last days, shall I find faith on the earth? The fight of your life is not against the devil. He's defeated. He only reigns by deception. The fight in your fight is not to make things happen. The fight of your life, the good fight, the winning fight, is the fight of faith. To have faith, to develop your faith, to strengthen your faith, to mature your faith, and to release your faith to accomplish God's will, okay? Verse 1, chapter 11, now faith is. Everybody say faith is now. Okay, hope is the expectation. Things are going to get better. Hope is about tomorrow. Hope is the greenhouse where faith blossoms, okay? So people that don't have hope, it's hard for them to have faith. People that don't have an expectation of God's goodness, that don't anticipate the inevitable supernatural power of God, that don't believe the best is yet to come, those, if you don't believe that, your faith will have a hard time becoming substance because it has nothing to grab onto. But faith is the substance. So faith is a quantifiable, qualifiable substance. You can measure faith. So you have to get this, because sometimes there's a mystical thing about faith. We call the Christian life the faith. Yeah, that's true. We're in the faith and we accept Christ, and that's called faith. But you have faith like you have a muscle, like you have ears and a nose and eyes. You have the substance of faith. Romans 12 says God gives to every person the measure of faith. You have faith. Everybody say, I have faith. Now it's up to you what you do with your faith. So Jesus said on the flip side, I'm sorry, it's on both sides. Flip side of your sheets, you can see on the back side that Jesus, when his disciples were being fearful, he said, why are you fearful, oh you of little faith? So he discerned their faith was weak. Now get this. When fear is present, faith is absent. When faith is present, fear is absent. Both faith and fear have to be fed to be sustained. So I say to you in Jesus' name, feed your faith and starve your doubts and overcome in this world. So Jesus said to the centurion, in your notes also, he marveled at his faith and said, I've not found such great faith. So that's both the quality and the quantity of faith. He has great faith. So your faith has a destiny to be great. And great faith is faith that believes God, okay? But Pastor, how do I use my faith? By believing the Bible is true. By believing, when you read the Bible, not just a devotional study, not just a historical narrative about a bunch of dead people, that you believe it's a living book, and in that book, every promise that you read is for you. Faith believes God's word is true. Faith believes God will honor his promises and make them true in our life. Okay? So faith is a substance of things hoped for. The last sentence, the evidence of things not seen. So the Amplified Bible says the title deed. Look at this from the Amplified Bible. That very scripture. Now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for. Divinely guaranteed, the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So faith perceives as a fact what your senses have not perceived as a reality. See, there is an argument between faith and reason, between revelation and logic. That's the argument. So faith says, when you have faith, you believe you're healed before you're healed. You with me? So when Sister Myrna went to the doctor and they're going to cut out a foot of her intestines and try to stop the cancer, faith stopped that from happening. Well, Pastor, how do miracles happen? By faith. See, you have to get out of this. See, in the church today, the pendulum swings both ways, but there's almost a pendulum that says, well, if anything happens, it's just God's will. That's nonsense. You with me? God's given you faith like a muscle. Use your faith, change your world. Okay, verse 2. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. Everybody say good testimony. So for example, Abraham messes up his whole life. So the Bible, it includes the humanity and weakness of people so that we don't see them as great, but we see their God as great. So, but Abraham lied about his wife being his wife, called him his sister because of Abimelech. Apparently, even though she was a middle-aged woman, she was still hot. Kind of like Pastor Mary, okay? So she's hot, and Abraham was afraid that Abimelech would kill him to get her, and so they pretended they were brothers and sisters, and it was a big lie, and he messed up a couple, you know. So Abraham did 100 things wrong. He did one thing right. The thing he did right in the eyes of God outweighed all the things he did wrong. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. Y'all with me? May your testimony be, I believe God. This person believed God. Verse 3, by faith. Someone shout faith. Okay, so we're talking about Jesus. So in the Bible, in the New Testament, there are two chapters that are exclusively about one topic. So in 1 Corinthians 13, a whole chapter, one of the most poetic and beautiful narratives of literature in all of history, the 13th chapter, it's all about what? Love. Amen. Without love, we are nothing. Love lasts long. Love bears all things. All the things love does. And then we come to Hebrews chapter 11, a whole chapter about faith. So the Bible then emphasizes in a higher realm of importance in our life, love and faith. Love toward people and faith toward God. Okay? These are highlighted because of their essential, invaluable, necessary ingredient in our life as believers. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. Now let's have some fun, okay? So by faith, we understand the reason why we don't believe in evolution, the reason why we don't believe in, you know, a godless universe is because we believe that God made it. Y'all with me? Astrologers have studied now the waves that come across the universe, radioactive waves. They found that the universe has a beginning. There was nothing, then there was everything. It's hard not to believe in God when you can retrace everything to a point when there was nothing. There was no time, space, and matter. And like that, everything was burst. Everything happened. What we call that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we know that by faith. But here's now the thing I want to emphasize. God framed the world by his word and by his faith. So God has faith. He believes his word is true. He doesn't wrestle with unbelief. We do. But here's what happened. So you and I are called in Christ's name to not be limited, not be governed, not be controlled, not be defined or confined by things that are out of our control, things that happen to us. So the word framed is katerizo. It's seen in your notes. It means to put something in the right place, to set in order, to heal something, restore something, to make something happen. So here's my word to you. Your faith in God's word will frame your world. If you don't like how things are, don't act like they can't change. Come on now. But use God's, your faith in God's word will reframe, heal, restore, make things happen, set in order. Your faith in God's word will reframe your world. See, that's how we change. We change the world by faith. Faith unleashes the hands of God to do, fulfill the promises of God. Your faith can change the world. By faith, the worlds are framed. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, though he being dead still speaks. So here's a couple of points. So they both gave gifts. Now please get this. Without the element of faith in your worship, it just becomes a religious tradition. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Barbecue sounds so good, I can't wait till then. And I'll have the corn on the cob too. Thank you, Jesus. So faith says, God's there. And you're going to hear my praise. Faith says, I'm not just saying things for you. I'm saying things for him. And Abel gave an offering to him, an excellent offering. And I don't want to get into all that. But then he dies, he's murdered, but his blood begins to cry out to God. Listen to me. Your faith will not end with your life. I was praying one time in the sanctuary here a couple years ago. We've had this church 6 years, this physical property. And the Lord, it was somewhere over here. I saw it like a vision of an older woman bowing. And she said, God, I know you're not finished with this building. Like 10 years ago. God, I know you're not finished. I know you have great things for this church and for the city. And the Lord said to me, son, many of the things that are happening in the church now are happening because of the faith of someone back then. And she may have passed on to glory, but her faith didn't die with. Come on now. Come on now. You may not see. You may not see everything your kids are going to be, but so what? Don't let your faith die when you die. God, he was 120 years old, and the old man that Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He prophesied, we will serve the Lord. Your faith will live past your life, so keep your faith at work even when you go to heaven. Okay? His blood speaking, verse 5. By faith, Enoch, when he was taken away, that he did not see death. So two guys in the Old Testament, Elijah and Enoch, had rapturous moments. Both were taken to Abraham's bosom, which was basically the air-conditioned part of hell before Christ came. But they did not experience a natural death. Enoch did not die because of what? By faith. The Bible says he pleased God. You cannot please God without faith. And he was found not because God had taken him. But before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So you can find that in Genesis chapter 5. Now get this. The last day church, I believe that's a prophecy of the last day church. Of a rapture, the second coming of Christ. Of a glorious encounter with the bride. Now, for the church to become glorious, what does that mean? Well, there is nothing more glorious in the eyes of God than faith. When the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith in the earth? Are you here? The last day church is going to have a revival of faith. See, we're begging God to do things that God's begging us to use the faith he's given us. Okay? Enoch, there is an Enoch generation that's going to push past death. I'll say that for another time. Verse 6. But without, now here's kind of a definition of faith. I love this. Verse 6. But without faith, everybody say without faith, it is impossible to please God. So without faith, any kind of religious sacrifice, without faith, religious efforts, tradition, all without faith in it has no meaning to God. There's no pleasure. There's no pleasing. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. Next stanza. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that there is a God, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So let's talk about that. This is kind of the essence of this whole chapter. So most of the church believes in God. So of course we do. We can't. So we believe in God. So faith comes to God believing that he is. We're okay there. Now where we lose half the body of Christ is here. And that the God you come to is a rewarder. Is a rewarder. Now I put the word reward. Was the foundation of the word rewarder in your notes. You can see it there. And it is the word mistopodosis, the Greek word mistopodosis. It carries the idea of being reimbursed for an expense that a person or employee has paid out of their own pocket in order to get the job done. So here's what God says. Go in the world, use your faith. And when you expend your faith, I will reward it by fulfilling my promise. He's a rewarder, the one who pays back the person who is, you're almost with me. The faith is yours, but the faith has the power to get his will done. What is your faith? What big things are you believing God to do now, next year, in your family, your life? If your faith's not working, it's time to take your faith out of the unemployment line and put it back to work. Friday we closed on the 19th Avenue property is now officially sold to Kingdom of the Valley. We're so excited for them. And that released us from $3 million of debt. So our debt the last few years has gone from $10 million down to less than $3 million, or less than $4 million, $3.5 million. So we're very happy about that. But my job is not just to believe for that. So it doesn't matter. So I want to be 90 years old and you know, church debt free, and I want to be believing for nations. I want to constantly keep my faith employed for the purpose of God. So faith, well, Pastor, if it's God's will, he'll heal me. You'll never get healed that way. See, we're all saved by God's grace. It's a free gift, and God loves us all unconditionally. But blessings come by faith. Blessings come by faith. So God's given you the Bible, and in the Bible, all these promises. And yet it's your faith that makes those promises a reality. God will reimburse you for spending your faith believing his promise. So that means when you're sick, that you act like you claim by his stripes I'm healed. You perceive it as real before it shows up as real. By his faith I'm healed. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I'm strong with the Lord. You employ your faith when it's most needed. Anybody can say they're healed when they're healed. Faith, let the weak say, I am strong. It's not a lie. It's a prophetic declaration in harmony with God's word that releases God's promise to be a reality. So three things in your notes. Okay. Faith begins, the inception of faith. Faith is initiated by hearing. Everybody say by hearing. Faith is activated by saying, and faith is demonstrated by doing. So Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing. So faith is initiated. God's word is your faith's food. It feeds your faith. Amen. I'm a Bible maniac. If you come here, I always give too many scriptures. I never finish a sermon. Pastor preached 35 scriptures. Today, 39 verses. Because I don't care. I could talk to you all day about psychology. I could talk to you about things in the culture. I could talk about my ideas, but none of that will change you. But when I preach God's word to you, it builds your faith. And when your faith is built, you believe God's promises. And when you believe God's promises, you shape, you frame your world. You change your future by what you believe today. Amen. So faith comes. It's initiated by hearing. Number two, it's activated by saying. God can't do it until you say it. Romans 10, with the heart man believes to righteousness, but with the mouth confession's made to salvation. Whoever will say to this mountain, be removed, cast to the sea. So God can't do it till you say it. So you've got to say crazy stuff. Okay? Like, I'm blessed. You've got to say, New York's my promised land, or Phoenix, your promised land. You're going to say, my family's going to be saved, my body healed, my marriage. You got to say it. Okay? The moment you say it, it's dynamic. Third thing, faith is demonstrated by doing. What does that mean? There is always a component, a trigger component of action. Faith is acting on God's word. Okay. Verse 7. By faith, Noah. Everybody like the story of Noah? Okay, here we are. Being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. Antediluvian period is put with Adam, time period, put Adam and Noah. The average lifespan was 900 years. The reason why, it never rained. The earth gave forth more moisture from beneath, and there was kind of the hint of a cloud covering, some kind of perfect, healthy environment. So people lived. In geology, we have discovered a 60-foot tall fern, alfalfa fern, asparagus fern. An average asparagus fern is a foot. Oh, look at this. Look at my fern. It's doing so good. It's a foot long. But in architectural record, we found one 60 feet tall. So apparently the dynamics, it had never rained. There was this protection from the radiation of the sun. All the environments on earth were different. And it all changed. So Noah comes, and after men, they start diminishing. 600 years, 500 years, 400, 300, down to 110 years with Joseph. So lifespan crashed at the flood. Hold on a second. So Noah's told by God it's going to rain. Now, please get this. God says something that's never happened is about to happen. Can I just prophesy to you? Something that's never happened is about to happen. In the church, in this generation, in your story, your family, your journey, in the body of Christ, in Arizona, California, it's something that's never happened. Don't be a person that says, well, it's never rained, it'll never rain. So Noah builds on dry land and a boat because he said something's coming. It took him 100 years. And while he's pounding the nails, the crowds would surround him, mock him. He preached one sermon for 100 years without one convert. Rain's coming. Rain came. Now listen to me. When the rain came, one man's faith built an ark of deliverance for his whole family. Your faith can build an ark for the salvation of your whole family. Come on now. Come on now. I was praying one day, and the Lord said to me, you know, Christianity was in your family, son. And the Lord showed me my grandma, Grandma Gaskin, on my mother's side. That she was a devout Christian. So she passed away when I was just a little kid. Her faith didn't pass away. She built herself an ark. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here's what Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and your household shall be saved. I'm taking my whole family to heaven. How about you? That's not good enough. How about you? Pastor, you don't know. Pastor, I've got agnostics and atheists and philosophers, and I've got a bunch of people and weird stuff. It doesn't matter. Your faith in God is more strong than the devil's deception in them. Just believe God. Build an ark. Declare salvation over my children, my nieces, my nephews. Declare God's kingdom. Build an ark by your faith. Verse 8, by faith Noah obeyed when he was called to go out to the place by which he would receive an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. The moment you got saved, you were called to a faith walk. And in the faith walk, here's how it works. God says, take a step, and we say, well, God, what's going to be beyond that step? Don't worry about it. God says, leave Ur, and so Abraham says, okay, I'll leave. Where are we going? I'll tell you later. See, God won't show you the third step until you take the first step. Well, Pastor, I want God to show me everything. So do I. It don't work that way. He says, do what I've told you to do now. If you take the step now, the next one will be made known. See, many people don't get to where they're supposed to go because they want God to show them the end from the beginning, all the details, but then it takes no faith. But it's a faith walk. Amen? Faith walk. Mary and I moved here in 85 to start a church with nothing. It's just God said, go, go, go. We started a church. And so in my mind, oh, the whole city of Phoenix is waiting for me. I'm 27 and so anointed. I took the first step of faith, and everything turned out different than I thought. But God still was in control. And today couldn't have been possible without that. Your faith initiates an outcome. So Abraham left his comfort zone to walk into the faith zone, and then he became the father of us all. Your faith will always require you sometimes to step out of the boat into a realm of uncertainty, trusting God, and then watch God write in the details. 3 times in our life, imagine your husband coming home, ladies, and I said to my wife, we're supposed to give away everything except the kids. Everything. We're giving away 19 cars. So 3 times we gave away everything, every stitch of furniture, art, everything in the bank account just emptied out to nothing. Well, Pastor, did God show you what happened next? No. But he always showed up next. Okay. You got a note for me, honey? Love you still. Thank you. Thank you, hot mama. I might pay for that one. Verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise. It's a foreign country. Okay, so my faith, listen to me. Many times God's given me this great word. Phoenix is your promised land. I'll feel it for somebody. What does that mean? It's full of God's promise for you. The kingdom of God is the land of promise. And God wants you to read the Bible and walk through the land of promise, every promise, walking into your inheritance, okay? Okay, I got to speed up. Thank you for your patience. Hyperdrive, here we go. The force is with us. Verse 10, he waited for a city whose foundations and maker and builder was God. So it was something beyond even Canaan. By faith, Sarah also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child when she was past age because she judged God faithful who had promised. Now, this is it. The thing inside of us, the internal battle is always this. Can we trust the promiser with the promise he's given us? See, the reason why he's loving you, he's loving the fear and doubt out of you so that you'll believe his promise. You can trust him. His promises are sure because his nature is true. So she gave birth to Isaac even in an older age. Therefore, from one man, verse 12, and him as good as dead, both Abraham and Sarah, was born as many as the stars in the sky and the multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So the nation of Israel, and then think about this, a couple billion believers on the earth, all the seed of Abraham. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them from afar, were assured of them, embraced them, confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those that say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they've been called to mind, if they had called to mind that country from which they come out, they would have opportunity to return. So they weren't talking about their natural homeland, but their heavenly birth homeland, heaven, the kingdom of God. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God's not ashamed to be called their God. And he's prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, who he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, God said, in Isaac your seed will be called. Abraham, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, which also he received in a figurative sense. So the reason why Abraham was confident in plunging a knife into his son, which he was going to until he was stopped, because he said he knew that God wasn't done with that boy and that God would raise him from the dead. And the whole point, people say, that's so grotesque that God would ask that. You're missing the point. God never needed Abraham's son. But the moment Abraham obeyed and was willing to give God his son, God by covenantal right was responsible to give us his son. And we needed Jesus and God didn't need Isaac. That's the deal they had, okay? Verse 15, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come, prophesying of their future. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, Manasseh and Ephraim, and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instruction concerning his bones. He said, don't leave me in Egypt. When you get into the, look at, Joseph said, you guys are going to get to where God wants us to go. And when you get there, take my bones with you. He's dead hundreds of years later. His bones, by his faith, were carried into the promised land. Oh, gosh. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than the riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to that reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover, by the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn would touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground. Wherefore the Egyptians, attempting to do so without faith, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, How did the walls of Jericho come down? What made the walls of Jericho come down? Your faith can tear down any wall in your life. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe because she received the spies with peace. The Bible says she let down a red rope. And they said, if there's a scarlet thread coming down from your house, you won't be destroyed. She went and got her whole family. And her whole family, her name means spaciously enlarged. She got a mom and dad and brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews, 100 folks in her apartment. Her faith saved her whole family. Your faith can save your whole family. What shall I say then for the time which failed me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, scraped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, becoming valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. That's a martyr, not someone whose life is taken, but someone whose life is given, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had a trial of mocking, scourging, yes, chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two, tempted, were slain by the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves in the earth. All of these having obtained a good testimony through faith, but did not receive the promise. God having provided something better. Someone shout Jesus. Jesus. Come on, shout Jesus. Jesus. Something better for us that they could not be made perfect from a part of us. Stand your feet and give Jesus a big shout of praise. Come on. Someone shout Jesus. Jesus. Here's my challenge to you. I'm sorry for racing through that. But here's my challenge to you. Believe God. Here's my challenge to you. Doubt your doubts. Here's my challenge to you. Strengthen your faith. Stop living in the paralyzed zone of neutrality, of uncertainty, confusion. Let your faith bless your business. Let your faith turn your family around. Let your faith restore your life, your heart, your journey. Your faith can do it. Your faith in God can do it. Prayer team, please join me down front. Lift your hands to heaven, everybody. Say this out loud. I have faith. Thank you, God, for giving me faith. I'm going to use my faith to believe God's promises, to frame my world, to see my family saved, to fulfill my destiny. This next year, I will use my faith, strengthen my faith, and walk in faith more than I ever have. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God a shout of praise, everybody. Come on. Come on, give him a real shout of praise. Jesus! Today, as we close the service, I want to invite three things. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the greatest, the most important thing in life is what you believe about God. So today, Jesus is calling to you, knocking on the door of your heart, wanting to have a relationship with you, wanting you to know the grace he gives to anyone who receives him. Like Dr. McCray said, God so loved the world, he gave us his only begotten Son. And whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you've never received Jesus, we want to pray for you. Make this your day. In the Christmas season of 2015, come to know Christ. Number two, if you've been away from God, make this your homecoming, restoration, breakthrough, return day. Welcome home. Number three, if you're a Christian and have not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit accompanied with the scriptural evidence of a heavenly prayer language, if you ever heard me pray, what is that? That's my prayer language for every believer the Holy Spirit has. We'd love to pray for you. If you are, number four, if you're a Christian just going through a battle, say, Pastor, I'm going through all kinds of things, it would be our honor to pray for you at the altar today. Don't go home if you're hurting. Don't go home if you need some help today. We're here to love you, to help you, to pray the prayer of faith for you. Anyone wanting prayer, please come forward. The rest of you, for just a minute longer, would you love Jesus with me? Lift your hands to heaven and celebrate who he is. Jesus, we love you.
You are the one.
Come on. Heart's a door. Come on, sing it. Let me hear. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we love you. You are the one, Lord. there's anyone here, if you've been going through unusually intense emotional or mental battles, don't leave without getting prayer today. God told me He's lifting the heaviness off our hearts. If that's you, please get prayer. God wants to help you and show you His grace and mercy. Show you His power.
You are the one.
We love you, Jesus.
Our hearts adore.
Jesus, we love you.
Jesus, we love.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, how we love you.
We're going to keep praying for people as long as we need to. Mary and I love you guys. Don't forget Wednesday night here. I'll be preaching from Hebrews. Thursday night, special night, candlelight service, short 50-minute service. Don't forget the bistros open with barbecued. Can't you smell from here the barbecue chicken or beef? Have an awesome week. You're blessed. God bless you. Tell someone Jesus loves them. God bless.
You are the one now. Our hearts adore. Jesus, we
Thank you.